Heavenly Father, we love you today. We thank you so much for the word of God that we have, that we can memorize and hide in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us to do that, not just here in this Sunday school time, but throughout the week, help us to memorize the word of God and to hide it in our heart, dear Lord, that you might recall it and allow the Holy Spirit to recall it into our hearts and minds when we're going through difficult struggles throughout the week. And I pray, dear Lord, you bless now in this Sunday school hour. Help us, dear Lord, as we continue this study. Use us, dear Lord, today to be an honor, to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray and ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Back in Exodus chapter 3 is where we're at today. Exodus chapter 3. We've been studying this quarter. We're winding up. We have one more lesson in this quarter, and we're winding down this quarter, and we'll continue this in latter part of the year, studying the book of Exodus. And I told you, it's going to take us a while to get through the book of Exodus. I don't run through a book when we do an expository study. I crawl through a book. I'm looking at the words. I'm looking at the phrases, trying to understand what God is trying to teach us here in this book. And in this book, we've seen the theme is the revelation of redemption. Redemption runs throughout the book of Exodus. And we've seen many examples of that as we've studied through the third chapter. And we can go back just a little bit today. Someone asked a question, and it's a great question to go back and look at this thing about surrender versus submission. And what is the difference? They had thought that it was the same thing. When you submit to God, it's the same thing as surrender to God. And as we saw last week, it's not the same thing. There's two different words, two different meanings. You can be submitted to God, but not be surrendered to God. But if you're surrendered to God, you are submitted to God. And there is a difference. And I'm going to show you that. I'm going to step through, again, chapter 3 just a little bit more to show you how Moses was not surrendered to God's will for his life immediately. He was submitted to God's will. And he was willing to do God's will. He was yielded to God's will. But he was not surrendered completely to God's will. And we have Christians like that today. We have Christians today that are in our churches, that are sitting on our pews, that visit this church, that are members of this church and don't come faithfully to this church. They're submitted to God. They're yielded to God. But they're not completely surrendered to God. And that's where we should be for God. So let's look again at chapter 3 of the book of Exodus. We said, yes, there's a difference between these two words, submission and surrender. Submission means you can be yielded to God, give way to another. And Moses was submitted to the word of the Lord. Remember, let's go back in Exodus 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he fled, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. So we have Moses in the backside of the desert. He is tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, not his own flock, but the flock of his father-in-law. And God is preparing him to take over his flock, God's flock, the children of Israel, when he leads them out of Egypt. So God is here working on Moses' heart, and he's going to speak to Moses and give him his plan and his will for Moses' life here at this time. But Moses has a choice. God has got his attention by a flame of fire in this bush, and this bush is not consumed. So God has gotten his attention but has not yet spoken to him. He's got his attention. Now it's up to Moses. Is he going to listen to God? Is he going to turn and look at God? He's going to turn and acknowledge that God is speaking, is trying to draw him in and get his attention? Or is he just going to ignore this flame of fire in this bush that was not consumed and continue to take care of the flock that he has responsibility of? He chooses to turn aside. It says in verse 3, he says, Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. He was interested. His attention and his interest had been aroused. He wanted to see this great sight. Why is this bush on fire and it's not being consumed? So God had got his attention. Moses chose to turn aside and to see. And only then did the Lord speak. In verse 4, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see,
God called unto him. God got his attention. Moses decided, I'm going to make a willing, free choice to see what this is, to see this great sight. Then God spoke to him. And as we see in the next preceding verses, God speaks to Moses from this bush. And he tells him, draw not hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look upon God. God got Moses' attention. Moses turned aside to see. Now God is speaking to Moses, and he immediately identifies himself. God identifies himself to Moses, and what's the reaction of Moses but worship? He's on his feet. He's off his feet. He's on his hands and knees. He's before God, worshiping God, reverencing God. And then verses 7 through 10, God outlines his plan, and he wants to use Moses to bring this plan to pass. So we see in verses 7 through 10, God's plan. So God today speaks to us, not audibly, but he speaks to us in the still small voice of the Holy Spirit of God. He speaks to us through his word, and he speaks to us and he says, I want your attention. I want you to listen. I want to draw you to myself. And as I draw you to myself, and you worship me, and you reverence me, and you submit to me or yield to me, then I'm going to outline my plan for you and your life. I want to use you. God wants to use all of us for his service. So he's outlining this plan to Moses. But what happens to Moses? Remember, he's only submitted to God right now. He's not surrendered. And I'm going to show you that here, beginning in verse 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? From verse 11 of chapter 3 all the way through verse 13 of chapter 4, Moses is making excuses why he's not the right person. God has just outlined his plan of delivering the children of Israel from Egypt and their bondage. And he wants to use Moses for this miraculous exodus out of Egypt. And Moses immediately begins to say, in verse 11, he says, I'm nobody. I'm not worthy. Why should you use me? Is Moses' excuse here in verse 11. He says, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel? I'm nobody, is what he's saying. And God says, he responds, God always has a response for every excuse we'll make. And he says in verse 12, and he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee. God says, I will go with you. It's through your weakness that I can shine forth. Remember Paul was saying, you know, in time of weakness, that's when God shines the most through me. As we can see God's power through this instance. So when Moses says, I'm nobody, God says, well, I will be with you, so you are somebody. If you've accepted Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. You are somebody to God. Yes, we're not worthy. None of us should feel worthy. I should be the one teaching a Sunday school class. I should be the preacher. I should be the Sunday school teacher. I should be whatever. We're not worthy of these positions. And if we feel that way, we need to check ourselves. We're not worthy. And we at times feel like we're nobody and we're not worth God even attempting to use. But God says, I want to use you. If we're surrendered to God, we've submitted ourselves to God completely. But if we're just submitted to God, we're just yielding. So Moses makes an excuse. And he goes on verse 13. He says, Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, who and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name, and what shall I say unto them? He says, I don't have all the answers. You know, God would speak to our hearts in a service, and he wants us to surrender to him into full-time service or to just the will of God that he's laid on our heart. We'll start making excuses immediately in the pew before we even try to step out of the pew. We're going, I'm nobody. And then we're going to say, I'm not prepared. I don't have the answers. What's God's response? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. God says, you have a word from God. And I am going with you. It's the power of God that's going to do this great thing. It's not you, Moses. You are my vessel. You are my instrument. And I'm going with you. I have spoken my name to you. And then in verse 1 of chapter 4, Moses again makes excuse. Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. He's really saying, I don't want to be ridiculed. You know, I understand, God, you want to use me. I understand, God, that you live with us inside of me. I understand that you have all the answers. I understand that it's going through your strength. I just don't want to be ridiculed. And we go out soul winning. You go knock on a door, everybody's afraid. If they tell you you're not afraid to go knock on somebody's door, they're lying to you. Everybody is afraid when you go knock on somebody's door. You don't know what's behind that door. You don't know what the response is going to be of people when they knock on that door. And you go and knock on the door and talk to someone about Christ. Or you don't go and knock on that door. Is it because you don't want to be ridiculed? You don't want to be made fun of? You don't want to be laughed at? You don't want to be, oh, you're one of those. Moses said, I don't want to be ridiculed. Look at God's response in verse 2. And the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And then later on down the verse 6, he tells him to put his hand into his bosom. You know, he turns the rod into a snake, and Moses puts his hand into his cloak, and he brings it back out, and it's leprous. And he puts it back in, and he takes it out, and it's healed. It's completely like it was before. God is showing Moses through these verses of verse 3 through verse 9 that God's power is where you're going to go and what you're going to go in. The power of God. God will use ordinary things. Look at the ordinary things God uses throughout the Word of God to show His power. And here He uses a simple rod and a simple action of Moses to show His power. So I don't want to be ridiculed. God says, go in my name. Go in my power. Verse 10, another excuse. Moses said unto the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since hast thou spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. You know, he's basically saying, I don't have any abilities. I don't have the abilities of eloquent speech. I'm going to go stand before Pharaoh and claim that God sent me. I'm not eloquent of speech. I'm of slow tongue. Slow speech. I don't have any abilities. You know, again, we're back on the pew and the Holy Spirit is touching our heart and speaking to our heart. He wants us to do something for God. And we're making these excuses. I'm not the right person. I don't have the answers. I'm not prepared. I don't have the gumption to go. I don't want to be ridiculed. I don't want to be that person. And then we say, I don't have any abilities that God can use. I love God's response. Look with me. Let's see. Verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? God says, I know who you are. I created you. I am the one that can make the dumb to speak. I am the one that can make the deaf to hear. I know your abilities. I know what you're capable of. That's why I am calling you. as we sit under the preaching of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, God is saying, I know your abilities. I know your capabilities. And through my power and through my strength and in my name, I know what can be accomplished. Just surrender. And he's still submitted. Still submitted. He goes on, he tries one more excuse in verse 13. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt send. He's really at the crux of the matter here. He says, Lord, send who you want. I hope it's not me. He's basically, I really don't want to go. I really don't want to be that one. I'm comfortable here on the backside of the desert. I'm comfortable taking care of Jethro's flock. I'm comfortable taking care of my wife and my sons. I'm comfortable here in this life and this world and what you have given me. I don't really want to go. Send who you will, Lord. How about us? God speaks to our heart through the Holy Spirit of God, and He says, I want you. I'm comfortable in my job. I'm comfortable in my life. I'm comfortable in my surroundings. I really don't want to go. I really don't want to be used of God, is what we're saying. And God responds with anger. He says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? Of course God knew the answer. I know that he can speak well, and also behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart, and thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth. There's no change in God's plan of, okay, Moses, I'm not going to use you. He just adds Aaron to the equation. In God's anger, he adds Aaron to be God's spokesman through from God to Moses, Moses to Aaron. He doesn't say, okay, Moses, I'll let you out of the deal. I'm going to change my mind. No, God is still saying, when you go, Aaron's going to meet you, and you're going to go before Pharaoh, and Aaron's going to speak through the words that I give you, and you give to Aaron. God is saying, you are my choice. And God is saying to you, to whatever God has laid on your heart to do for Him, if it's full-time service, serving God somewhere else, or in the mission field, or teaching, or here in this church, doing something for God, God says, you are my choice. After God has given clear direction in your life, the will of God, that's what we're talking about. The will of God is not a great mystery. He wants you to know His will. And as He shows you His will, and He gives us this clear direction, what does He tell Moses in Exodus 3 and verse 5? Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. But then, in verse chapter 4, and verse 18, Moses went. Sometime he got up, he put his shoes back on, and he started serving God. We, after God has spoken to our heart and we've submitted to God, hopefully surrendered to God, and we start serving God, first we have to put our shoes on. Get back up. Start putting our shoes on and get busy for God doing what He has just told us to go do. Put your shoes back on. Moses began to make excuses. We see why he's not the right person for the job. And each excuse Moses made, God had an answer. For each excuse man makes, God has an answer. Finally, Moses went back. He went to Jethro first and asked leave of his responsibilities. And then he began the journey back to Egypt. But he was not yet surrendered to God. You keep saying that. How do you know that? Look with me in chapter 4, verse 18. And Moses went and returned to Jethro his father-in-law and said unto him, let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, Now, what is God's plan? Go speak to Pharaoh to let his people go, to let God's people go and to bring them out of bondage, out of Egypt. I pray thee in return of my brethren which are in Egypt and see whether they be yet alive. Well, God's already said, I've heard their cry. I've heard they're alive. I've seen their taskmasters. I've seen the bondage they're under. I know what they're struggling against. Moses says, well, Jethro, I need to be relieved of my responsibilities. I need to go back and see if my brethren are alive. He's not quite surrendered yet, is he? But it goes further than that. Chapter 5 and verse 22. Moses went to Egypt. He meets with Aaron, and now Moses and Aaron are meeting with the leaders, the elders of the Israelites, and then they meet with the people of God, and then they go and speak to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, oh, these people have all the time in the world on their hands. They want to go sacrifice to their God. Let's take care of that relaxation of time they have, this easiness of they have. They won't get straw anymore. They'll have to go find their own straw to make the bricks, and the tail of the bricks that they have to make will not be reduced. So before the Egyptians were giving them the straw they needed to make the bricks, to meet the quota that they had to meet every day, now Pharaoh says, oh, you got all the time in the world, you go find your own straw and make the same amount of bricks and the same responsibilities. And all this takes place, and the children of Israel are like, what's going on? We weren't this bad before. Now Moses has come, and what's happened? In verse 22, Moses returned unto the Lord. It's chapter 5, verse 22. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Was it God that evilly entreated this people? No, it was Pharaoh. Why is it that thou hast sent me? If he had been surrendered to God, he would not question God's motives. He would not question God's plan. He was submitted. He was just yielded to God. And he says, for since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, look at him. Since I came and I spoke, just like you told me, I came and spoke in your name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. I thought we were going to leave Egypt. I thought your great plan was to take the people out of Egypt. You haven't done anything, God. Where are you? He's not surrendered to God completely. He's just yielded. He's submitted. Go now to chapter 6 and verse 10. God answers here in chapter 6. God answers Moses. When we come down to chapter 6 for sake of time, verse 10, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, go in and speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his hand. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who have uncircumcised lips? The children of Israel have not listened. How's Pharaoh going to listen? Remember, God is wanting to use Moses. And Moses is like, I really don't want to be used. I don't really want to be the one. I really don't want to go, but I'm here. And while I'm doing what you've told me to do out of not a surrendered heart, but a submitted heart, he's like, where are you, God? I thought this great plan of yours was to leave Egypt, to deliver the people, and now you want me to go and talk to Pharaoh again? He's not going to listen. Surrender means to give up in power, control, and possession completely to another. Moses was not there. He was not completely surrendered. Moses was surrendered to God, though, in his later years. He goes up Mount Sinai and God's speaking to him. He gives him the tablets of stone of the Ten Commandments. He leads the children of Israel through murmuring and complaining through the wilderness. He is God's man. What happened? What was the change? What caused him to surrender? Notice with me chapter 7 and verse 19. He's still yet submitted. Remember, Aaron now has been given by God to be Moses' spokesman because one of Moses' excuses was, I'm not eloquent of speech. I'm slow of speech. I'm not that great of a speaker or an orator. So God gave Aaron to be the spokesman. So Exodus 7 and verse 19, the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron. So God speaks to Moses. Moses gives the message to Aaron. Aaron gives the message out to Pharaoh. Say unto Aaron, take thy rod and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon all the pools of water, that they may become blood. So the first miracle is pronounced through Aaron, as Moses' spokesman, or God's spokesman, through Moses to Aaron. Again, chapter 8 and verse 5. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams. He's going to remove the plague of the blood. And now the frogs are to come up. But this is done from God to Moses to Aaron to Pharaoh, or to the people. Then look at chapter 8, verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Again, the same pattern. Aaron is the spokesman for Moses, who God is speaking to. Moses is not yet submitted to God, surrendered to God completely, even through this plague of lice. But a change takes place in chapter 8 and verse 9. Remember, Moses said one of his excuses, I'm not eloquent of speech. I can't speak to Pharaoh. Moses said unto Pharaoh. Did you see that? 8, 9, Exodus 8, chapter 8, verse 9. Moses said unto Pharaoh. For sake of time, go to verse 26. Chapter 8, verse 26. And Moses said, verse 25. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, as he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, Moses was talking to Pharaoh. Verse 29. And Moses said, behold, I go out from thee. Who is he talking to? Pharaoh. Because in verse 28, Pharaoh said, I will let you go that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far and treat for me. And Moses said, behold, I go out from thee. He's speaking to Pharaoh. A change is taking place. Chapter 9, verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and tell him. Where's Aaron? The pattern was God speaks to Moses, and Moses was to speak to Aaron, and Aaron was to go to speak to Pharaoh. What has happened now in chapter 9 and verse 1? The Lord speaks to Moses, and Moses goes to Pharaoh. Go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith the Lord God of the heavens, let my people go that they may serve me. Chapter 9, verse 13. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. Verse 22. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in the land of Egypt upon man and upon beast and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his hand. Something's happened. Something's happened in Moses' life. He has seen the hand of God. He has seen the power of God. He has seen God's name being glorified. He has seen God work through him. And he gets excited. This is who I serve. I serve Jehovah God, the creator of the world. And here I am making excuses and not completely submitted to him. And I'm holding these little compartments back in my life that I don't want to give him. And he says, give me all. And Moses gives all. And as we see from chapter 8 of book of Exodus on through the book of Deuteronomy and the book of Numbers and the book of Leviticus, how God mightily uses Moses in the coming days. He couldn't have used him mightily, completely, if he hadn't been completely surrendered to God. The change came place. Someone has said, when we submit, we give in, keeping the focus on ourselves. When we submit, we give in, but when we surrender, we give up. We put the focus back on God. True surrender includes an unconditional surrender. To be used up bodily, to be used up completely in our body, in our soul, both in time and out of time for the glory of God. That's surrender. And as we've looked at, to be completely surrendered to God, first you have to be saved. You have to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And once you are saved, then you have to be separated. Well, you have to be saved, then you surrender. Or usually you saved and you submit, then you surrender. And when you surrender, you become separated somewhere in the time frame overlapping. You become separated Christian, living for God, trying to do all you can to be holy and righteous in this flesh that we carry around. Separated in our beliefs, separated in our lifestyle, separated in our fellowship, separated in our conversation. And then we are to begin serving. All again, overlapping. All of these is serving. And there's things that we need to be doing in service. Moses was serving. Chapter 3, verse 1, he's serving by being the shepherd of Jethro's flock. He is serving. It's a spontaneous act of service. Not only, or chapter 3, verse 1 is not, that's a schedule, but look at chapter 2, verse 16. Chapter 2 and verse 16, Moses has fled Egypt. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. That's a spontaneous act of service. He knows what's right and wrong. He knows what should be done, and he says, I'm going to serve. And he finds a place where he can spontaneously serve God. You know, we can spontaneously serve God here in this church, opening the door for people, greeting one another. You know, the hospitals have a new rule. Well, it's about a 2-year-old rule now. As I was a consultant for hospitals, we see this rule being implemented, and it's called the 10-foot rule. And any employee of a hospital within 10 feet must acknowledge the person coming towards them in the hallway. Either another employee or a visitor or a patient. 10-foot rule. Boy, well, that would be a great rule for us to follow here and adopt here. Meet and greet everyone we come to. Everybody we pass in the hallway. Don't walk around with your head bowed down. Greet people. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ. Adopt it at work. Speak friendly to those around you. Something I learned when I was in undergraduate school, it was just a spontaneous act of service. And people laugh at it when I talk about it, but to me, it shows humbleness. The pastor taught us Bible students in chapel. He would say, he'd visit every restroom in the building. There was lots of restrooms in our building. He'd go to different ones, different times of the day, different days of the week. And every time when he was leaving that restroom, he would take a paper towel and wipe the sink off. And somebody saw what he was doing. So why are you wiping the sink off? It's just water. He said, I'm serving God. You can't serve God by wiping water off of a sink. Sure you can. A spontaneous act has stuck with me all these years. A spontaneous act of service I can serve God by wiping the water off around the sink. How about you see an empty box of Kleenex or paper towels? You say, well, I don't know where they are. Speak to someone that does. That's a spontaneous act of service. Pray with someone who needs comforting. You know, we can walk around here, now all of us carry things in our pockets. And undoubtedly, we'll drop something out of our pocket, a little piece of tissue or a little piece of trash, and you're walking around, pick it up. Don't go to them and say, oh, you dropped something and it's trash. Just go pick it up and throw it away or put it in your pocket later to go throw away. This is God's house. This is your place of worship. It's just a spontaneous act of service. Pick it up, put it in your pocket, and later throw it away. Take out the trash. You're like, I'm not paid to be the custodian. That's okay. That's serving God. Some of the bathrooms up on the hill have small trash cans, and those little kids love to use paper towels. You see it's full? Take it to the dumpster's right there. You go to your car, you got to pass the dumpster. Spontaneous acts of service. Look at the grounds of our church. Just walk, take a walk around our grounds. And what do you see? There's trash on the ground, pick it up. There are weeds in a flower bed, pick it up. We all hate weeding. Anybody love weeding? I hate weeding. That is probably my least favorite chore, and my wife does it. I hate it. I just don't like doing it. I'll do everything else. I just don't like to weed. We have a flower bed up here going towards the teen church. Oh, it looks horrible. This is God's property. We should make this property just shine for God. Shine for God. Look around. There's places to serve spontaneously everywhere for God in this place. Straighten the hymnals before you leave. We'll find, Keith and I will come in here after a Monday morning. There'll be tithe envelopes all over the floor. There'll be hymnals all over the place. There'll be Bibles all over the place. Before you leave your pew, just make sure it's straight. That's not serving God. Yes, it's serving God. Those are spontaneous acts of service. Next week, we'll talk about those scheduled acts of service. Those things where you've volunteered to serve God in a scheduled place. And then we'll talk about how you seek God's will and how you can know God's will. And well, not next week, because next week's Father's Day. But the last Sunday of this month, the last Sunday of this quarter, we'll wrap up this lesson on chapter 3, talking about scheduled efforts of service and then how to find out God's will for your life. I pray you'd be here. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you tomorrow. Today, dear Lord, we thank you so much for this lesson. Help it to apply it to our hearts and lives. I pray I have not offended anyone. That was not my intention. Or embarrassed anyone. That is not my intention. I teach and preach, thus saith the Lord, and what the Holy Spirit of God places on my heart to do. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us all to be servants that are totally surrendered to you. God, now in the next hour, bless our pastor. Give him the strength and power he needs from the Holy Spirit of God to preach the Word. And help us in teen church and junior church, toddler church, help us to preach the Word of God to all those of all different age groups that someone might come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior today. For that's why we're here, is to preach the Word. In Jesus' precious name we pray and ask it. Amen.